You're listening to Live Free, Think Free on 90.1 KPFT Houston, your home for uncensored news and underground music since 2011.
This article is coming, or this sort of look at here that we're going to look at is coming from, it started with me getting this email, and this is one benefit. Here's a tip to anybody who wants to be an investigator, researcher, citizen journalist, etc. Subscribe to the press releases from your local mayor's office, police, different departments. Pretty much sign up for all of it and just check it. There's usually useful information, including the schedules of where they're going to be. So if you ever need to ask them questions, you know exactly where they are. And I got this one about Houston's 5G champion, Mayor Sylvester Turner, who is in his second to last year. Next year will be his final year before he leaves office. And then there's an election coming up for a new mayor in Houston. And as we've told you before over the years, I mean, this guy's worked closely with wireless. He also sits on the board of this Resilient Foundation, which is funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. He has welcomed the president, not Klaus Schwab, but this other president of the World Economic Forum before. So we've seen a relationship between the World Economic Forum, who, for those who might not be familiar, are the folks that announced what they call the Great Reset, their words, not ours, back in June 2020, talking about, they said it's time to reset capitalism and that COVID has shown us we need to reset and remake all the world's systems. Anyways, the mayor's schedule says Monday, 5:30 p.m., he was delivering opening remarks at the World Economic Forum's Global Industrial Clusters Conference in partnership with the Center for Houston Future Reception. And so obviously that caught my eye. It's like, what the heck is this? I've never heard of the World Economic Forum's Global Industrial Clusters Conference, and I've never heard of the Center for Houston Future, Centers for Houston Future. Well, I found them and I looked them up, and if you're watching on screen, you can see what I'm checking out. This is just their website, centerforhoustonsfuture.org. And then this is, again, in their press release section under news and media, Houston meeting seeking to accelerate decarbonization, job creation, and competitiveness with industrial clusters. And we'll get into what some of that means, but this is just basically a press release, and this just tells us more about this meeting that Mayor Sylvester Turner was participating in. It said that on October 10th to 12th, which is today, so it concluded today, it's been Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday here in Houston, as part of a World Economic Forum initiative supported by Accenture, which is a company, and the Center for Houston's Future and EPRI, not sure who they are yet, aimed at accelerating industrial decarbonization, creating jobs, and improving competitiveness. The meeting is part of the, quote, Transitioning Industrial Clusters Towards Net Zero initiative, which was launched last year at the UN's COP26 by the forum in collaboration with Accenture and EPRI, that name again. And they say that this is about speeding decarbonization of, quote, hard to abate industrial sectors with increasing industrial competitiveness, creating green jobs through opportunities at nearby facilities, as nearby facilities share infrastructure and drive synergy, blah, blah. At this event, participants will discuss hydrogen, carbon capture and storage, industrial electrification, and systematic efficiency and circularity. The forum selected Houston after the Center for Houston's Future joined the initiative in May. And so all told, there are apparently 10 industrial clusters from the U.S., U.K., Australia, Spain, Belgium, and the Netherlands that are part of this effort. And I guess that they consider these industrial clusters to be areas that are obviously heavily industrialized and dealing with pollution and different things and maybe producing what they claim is a dangerous amount of carbon. And so, yeah, the press release goes on from there. But that was kind of what I found. And I have some more, Micah, but let's just stop there for a moment. I mean, are you familiar? I'm sure you've come across, most people have been hearing this language, the net zero decarbonization. Like, this is not just about, you know, this is definitely about watching people's carbon. And this one's focused on industrial areas. But that idea of net zero, they literally think they're going to get carbon down to zero.
Yeah, I don't know. Kind of sounds like the zero COVID, right? You know, like the kind of totalitarian view on it. I mean, I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't look at carbon emissions and think about them like we should any other aspect of human interaction. But I do think that it's a little bit much. I mean, aren't we carbon? I mean, so what, are we not going to have fires in our fireplaces anymore? Are we not going to have barbecues? I don't know. I mean, net zero, that's such an absolute thing. I guess you're going to have to buy carbon credits or something, right? And
exactly.
We've seen where some companies, you know, appear to be green by buying these carbon credits from companies that overproduce in a way that allows them to have excessive carbon credits. So we see them already gaming that system. I know we talked about that. Maybe you remember a couple of perhaps months back at this point. I don't remember exactly where that was. I think it might have been related to some Tesla dealings. But nonetheless, I do think it's something that, you know, people ought to be, I think anything with these totalizing concepts like World Bank, World Economic Forum, United Nations, you know, anything that overarching, we probably ought to pay some attention to. I mean, I think some people would think it's the other way around. And, you know, I do believe that we need to pay attention to all the local, maybe the local sheriff matters more than the president in your daily life. I don't know. But I do think it's ridiculous not to be concerned what, you know, these huge multinational organizations have, you know, on their agendas. I mean, it'd be kind of foolish. I mean, it's not as if the history of humanity is driven by the people who were most always had the interest of every individual in mind. And I think that's one of the things that once people began to have more personal liberty, that, you know, they had a chance to reflect on what was best for them. And so, you know, how can we have that and still have these totalizing things trying to decide from on high? In some ways, I get it. If it's for our own good and we recognize it is, then it should be a simple, you know, thing. I mean, nobody has to talk humans into drinking good water. I mean, we all kind of get that. You know, so I know maybe it's too simplistic to say we could be there on something as complex as pollution, but I do think that there's, you know, there probably is stuff that we could agree on. So I don't know. I probably digress too far on this, but yeah, we know that they're looking to do more than, you know, simply have a curb in pollution, I would imagine, based on just the whole structure we see behind it. There's going to be a whole new bureaucracy behind it. There's going to be
absolutely
all of that.
Yeah. And it's just the same
in our lives.
It's the same old United Nations, World Economic Forum, technocratic kind of like elite, us at the top, central planning. We know how to take care of the planet. We know what's best for you. But yeah, and the interesting thing is I posted about this on my Facebook. I tweeted about it. I didn't see the mayor tweet anything from this event. I didn't see, you know, any like live stream or videos. So I'm guessing it's the kind of thing that unless you're not, you know, unless you're there, we're just not going to hear about it.
That's kind of flip, right? Because look about it this way. You know how we talk about like they don't show the good, they don't show the bad things they're doing quite often, you know? So why wouldn't they be talking about this? Wouldn't this be ideally a good thing? Isn't that at least how it's being pitched? Or is there just already so much backlash that they figure, oh, it's best just to, you know, make our plans and move forward. We have the people we need. We don't need to pitch it to anybody else. You know, I don't know. It seems like if it's, you know, so good that it'd be like, look, we just took part in this. He'd be tweeting it out, you know, making the world safe for icebergs.
Well, I want to go a little further because you were sort of touching on this, and I want to about like just, you know, these organizations, these are huge multinational, NGOs and nonprofits. In the case of the World Economic Forum, they call themselves the International Organization for Public-Private Partnerships and Cooperation. So, you know, what we're seeing here is World Economic Forum Initiative. You know, the World Economic Forum has been around for 50 plus years now. They meet every year in Switzerland, Davos, Switzerland, in January. They have created over 200 plus different initiatives and platforms and other, you know, things like this, programs that allow them to get connected and kind of, in their own words, penetrate the cabinets of global governments. And, you know, I think this thing here, this, what they're calling, what do they call it? The Transitioning Industrial Clusters Towards Net Zero Initiative, is just another one of those examples. And the fact that the mayor of Houston is speaking there, I think is emblematic of that's how they bring the agenda from the top down of, you know, people are like, oh, it's just a bunch of rich people getting together and talking, right? They're not in government. They have no power, but they bring business leaders, government, journalists, et cetera. And it's becoming more and more of a public thing where the programs they are launching, the things they are saying, that language, you know, we saw that with Joe Biden, that Build Back Better terminology comes directly from the World Economic Forum and their Great Reset program. So I just wanted to show a couple other things here before we move on, in line with what I was just discussing there. So again, they have the bigger agenda that meets at Davos World Economic Forum in Switzerland, and they have a bunch of different programs that they use to bring these agendas down to the local level. And I just released this new article today. You can find it at thelastamericanvagabond.com. It's called The WEF's Programs for Infiltration: The Young Global Leaders, Global Shapers, and New Champions. And I'm not going to read this article. It's pretty long, but I encourage you to go check it out, if only just to know who these groups are, how they relate to the World Economic Forum. I'll give you a quick summary. These are what I was just describing. These are organizations that have a public face, the Young Global Leaders, which they describe as a, quote, dynamic community of exceptional people with the vision, courage, and influence to drive change in the world. They have more than 1,400 members from more than 120 nations who are business innovators, entrepreneurs, tech pioneers, educators, activists, artists, journalists. And they basically, again, this is one of the ways they spread their philosophies and their agendas. And we have a clip here. Some of you might have seen it. There was a clip that has been making the rounds over the last year of Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, giving this discussion where he basically comes out and straight up says, like, that his Young Global Leaders program, that Justin Trudeau, he even says Putin, and a few other well-known people who are now prime ministers or presidents or premiers or in positions of power, come from the Young Global Leaders program. And he said, we've been penetrating the governments. That was his words, not mine, you know, talking about penetrating the governments with their organizations. And so, yeah, that's his words. And so I go into some of the, they recently actually met at the beginning of September. The Young Global Leaders had their annual gathering and for a 2-day gathering in Geneva, Switzerland. And then right around that time, or maybe even at the same time, another organization called the Global Shapers, which is just another one of these programs, which is, you know, one of them is aimed at people under 30. The other one's aimed at under 40. And just they bring them together, get them together, have, you know, they get them with probably really, I imagine, bright people who want to do good. And who either are, you know, told that the UN, the World Economic Forum, these are the best paths to get a good resume so you can go out there and do good in the world in the nonprofit sector, civil society, philanthropy, whatever you want to choose. And, you know, people, there's a lot of people who just don't question that. So what this article does is just I went to the recordings. I had to actually pay for a membership for the World Economic Forum to get access to these videos because they're not public. But I knew they were meeting in September. They didn't release anything out of it. And I wanted to, you know, see what they were talking about. So I watched hours and hours of these people talking. And some of it, again, things that maybe people like you and I, Micah, might think like, oh, that sounds like a good idea. But it's all about how it's implemented, right? Is it going to be done voluntarily, consensually through the people, or some sort of forced down, top down program where through the programs like the World Economic Forum, the Young Global Leaders, et cetera, they push out their propaganda, their message, and then using all their network, you know, it becomes a reality. I mean, these are things we've been talking about for years, but I think at this point it's just so open now and we have so much documentation of it. In fact, one point I want to mention is that Johnny Vedmore, who writes over with Whitney Webb at unlimitedhangout.com.
You think it could be like a self-fulfilling prophecy to check this stuff out. These guys, you know, they're the best. They're trained up. They're like, you know, they're the elite. They're being packaged better. They're being sold. They're being told, look, this is, you know, they've got all these good things in mind for you. Look, isn't Justin a great guy? But, I mean, as long as you're not a trucker or whatever up there, you probably don't have problems. Well, wait, that's not entirely true. But, yeah, so
let me make this point right here. What I was saying is that Johnny Vedmore had written that this whole thing, though, for people who don't know, Klaus Schwab's mentor was Henry Kissinger. He's the one who helped him. And they did a really great investigation showing that the program that predated Klaus Schwab forming the World Economic Forum, which was originally the European Forum, I think. But even prior to that, it came from people deeply connected to the CIA working with Henry Kissinger to start this program that eventually became adopted as the World Economic Forum. And Klaus Schwab has specifically said that Henry Kissinger was his, you know, his greatest mentor. So just to kind of bring some of those connections together, sorry, Mike, I just wanted to make that point clear there.
That's important, especially, you know, I'm sure there's some alternate timeline somewhere where Henry Kissinger adopted him.
Yeah, he seems to be playing up the role of like the latest Bond villain now in power, right? And this article, like I said, it's pretty long. I'm not going to go through the whole thing and really, you know, spend time. But like I said, it's basically a summary of the Young Global Leaders gathering in September, the Global Shapers gathering, and then this other organization that they have called the New Champions that met over the summer. And a lot of the topics are things that I think we should be paying attention to. We were just talking about, Michael, with the carbon thing. Like they had panels talking about ESG, the environmental social governance criteria, which is quickly evolving to be one of the models or the templates for the carbon credit program, for social credit programs.
Exactly. And then, how they're going to police these ideas, you know, because that's what all these ideas mean. Because they, it's like you said, do they just come from the individuals deciding not to, you know, paint their walls with DDT anymore? Or does it come from, you know, on high be enforced? Because there's going to be unintended consequences of the legislation, of the actions, of the bureaucracies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing about it that I think is most interesting, and honestly, these people have, they've been working for 50 plus years. And I mean, obviously, I think much longer than that, specifically the World Economic Forum, though. And their strategies are working, though, man. I mean, after 50 years, he can say, look, we've penetrated the cabinets of Canada. We've penetrated the cabinets of this country. I mean, clearly their strategy of having these different programs and initiatives has worked. One other point I want to make just here, kind of tie some other things together people might know about, the organization called the Club of Rome, which just recently this year celebrated 50 years of their quote unquote landmark report, The Limits to Growth. And The Limits to Growth talked about things like, you know, one child policy. It talked about, you know, claiming that we were going to be hitting mass overpopulation and the planet, you know, just different things, right? Basically arguing that we need to have limited growth and control. And again, central planning, just some interesting facts about that. And this is things I didn't know when I researched this, that the World Economic Forum actually hosted the Club of Rome in 1972 and promoted, and it's seen as really the kind of kickoff, or at least for them, of the modern environmental movement, where they were able to support and release. And Klaus Schwab, even at some of these talks I listened to, bragged about like being able to help kick the Club of Rome off, and now they've done all these amazing things by promoting their ideas for 50 years. The Club of Rome is also infamous for, they wrote a report in 1991 as well called The First Global Revolution, where they say it's misunderstood, but it says that we came to the conclusion that humanity itself was the enemy. And by promoting this idea, they would be able to advance their goals, their environmental and political goals. But beyond that, people know the name Prince Bernhard of Netherlands. He's not alive anymore, I believe, but this guy was involved in founding of the Bilderberg Group in 1954. He also played a role in the Club of Rome. And then apparently at that same year in the 70s, the World Economic Forum unveiled what they called the Davos Manifesto. And this is where the Klaus Schwab's idea of stakeholder capitalism was first unveiled. And they called this the, quote, Junior Bilderberger Annual Summit in the beginning. So just to kind of like make it clear, like there's just so many different connections between people that many of us, I think, are already skeptical of, people in power. And this is how they bring, it's not just like always nefarious, like people might imagine. It's a bunch of groups and people getting together. And I think a bunch of, you know, I don't like the term really, but useful idiots, you know, unwilling people, but people who are maybe acting and part of things that they're not fully like coherent of the bigger purpose. Because again, like this one here, Micah, the Global Shapers Community, this is 15,000 people in 500 city-based hubs in more than 150 countries. So they start these hubs for people under 30. And most of them, from what I learned, are just like 20 people. I mean, imagine this. It's like activist groups we know, right? But they're using their money and their funding and their resources
to create
these hubs all around the world.
Like Model UN, like mm-hmm. These people that do well in there, you know, and make it as if it's just part of their reward. And they're just the little minion level ones, right? They're not obviously Trudeau. But I think that there's almost a seamless promotion of government within government organizations, like the school. So like the ideas that government solved all the problems in history, the ideas that this march forward, you know, the great future that's seen from, you know, I guess you could, I don't even want to call them the elite because they're not really like particularly the best among humanity. But seen by those who take the totalizing view and believe everyone needs to get in line with their view, those people and those organizations, you know, they seem to be able to get a foothold in early, right? Because, you know, here they are, like their professed things are all good, right? We want to save the planet, save all these things, make the world a better place, take on, you know, global issues. And so young people are attracted to changing the world, right? And so I just think that when you couple, you know, the insidious nature of government to promote government, whether it's our own schools having model UN in it or not, but, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to be that parent that says, hey, look at this crazy stuff that's happening here? And, you know, your kid's going to be like, stop it, Dad. We don't really want you to
stop going to the, stop going to the school board meeting, Dad. Yeah, no, I think it is hard to come out against that sort of thing, but honestly, it's like, you know, I've told you before, I'm toying with the idea of running for mayor again next year. And if I decide to do, I would like to speak very directly to the Agenda 2030. Yes, it'll get me labeled a right-wing extremist just for even, you know, dare challenging that maybe the UN's not a good thing. But I think at this point, there's so many people now who recognize that for whatever good certain people might be doing within the UN or believe they're doing, because again, not every single person involved in the UN is some kind of criminal, right? But for whatever good that's doing, I think more and more people are becoming questioning of that. And I just want to read this one line from the article here that I wrote. And again, this will be linked at thehoustonfreethinkers.com because it's exactly about what you're talking about. I wrote, unfortunately, the good work of these well-intentioned people, and I mean the average person from around the world, is being harvested in an attempt to give the WEF and their ilk a veneer of legitimacy. These projects give the WEF something to point to when asked what exactly their organization is accomplishing. However, when looking at the 2022 Global Shapers Annual Gathering, all of the topics discussed align perfectly with the aforementioned agendas of Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum. So again, they have these hubs. And I looked at, actually, there's a hub in the city I live in, Micah, here in Mexico, in Morelia. And I'm going to try to connect with them because they seem like they're probably like good, you know, like I said, well-meaning younger people in their 20s or 30s who are trying to do something good. And they have kind of going down that, what I would consider the nonprofit industrial complex, NGO, you know, that whole apparatus.
Well, one thing I would also like to say is, and maybe it's been 100 years now or so, maybe a little bit less, I think more and more people think on a global scale, even period, right? I mean, look at musicians, you know, they're being played in Spotify all over Europe, all over the Americas, you know, in Australia and Africa, basically along language lines. You know, look at the YouTube views, you know, you see views in countries that don't even speak English as a minority language. So I don't know. I think that there's something to the whole, like, we can think as a world now, or think of the world now, and be less bound by, you know, perhaps corrupt nation states. But I think, you know, when you just trade one level of government, like we've said before, you can have tyranny on the local or on the global or on federal level, you know. You can also have well-meaning people there. But I think once one of those, you know, is there a temporary government program that goes away? I mean, I just think that they tend to turn into these big bureaucracies that if we take the show this way, you know, every episode we could cover the corruption within it and someone in an authority position using it for personal exploitation over another individual or multiple other individuals. And so I guess is it that we just have to accept some poison with this as the cure?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the poison is the cure, if it's just the poison at this point, right? I want to wrap up this section here. I appreciate you guys being with us, and Micah, your comments, I appreciate them as well. I'll end it with this final note. And again, this whole section of articles about what's going on in Houston, my article about the World Economic Forum, and then this one, just to kind of hammer the point home, this is coming from Unlimited Hangout as well. Matthew Arrett, he wrote this one back in March. The Rhodes Scholars Guiding Biden's Presidency. And he goes through showing how, you know, again, we've learned a lot about the World Economic Forum's Young Global Leader Program, but the program that originated that sort of strategy that I was just outlining with the World Economic Forum, Global Shapers, Young Global Leaders, New Champions, it originated with the Rhodes Scholars. And if you look through Biden's cabinet, it's filled with these folks, same kind of college backgrounds and same communities. And so there's just this one line I want to read here. This is just in the introduction to the article. It says, just as Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum was never his own man, having been trained by his mentors, Maurice Strong, who is a co-founder of the World Economic Forum and also heavily involved in the United Nations, and his Harvard mentor, Henry Kissinger, so too were Klaus's young leaders, merely a modern version of an older practice that has been at play for over 114 years. This older institution is the Rhodes Scholarship System and the associated Roundtable Movement, which created both Chatham House in 1992 and the Council on Foreign Relations in 1921. So that goes into a whole other topic that I know some of our listeners are familiar with and others are probably not. But if you've never heard that term, Roundtable Movement, I encourage, you know, read this article, but also just start doing some research in that area, because that's essentially what we're seeing with the World Economic Forum itself, like having a front purpose. You know, the front group has a purpose, a stated aim and goal, and maybe others in different layers have different missions involved.
A piece of that article was talking about that they have the zeal of like a religious individual, you know, convert. And I think maybe that's some of it too. They become, and we've seen this, like ideological zealots to some degree, believing the ends justify the means, which we've seen, you know, just recently we even saw Fauci using that argument, you know, that the ends justify the means. And that, so
good,
I
old
think
Fauci.
Something to keep in mind. That's an argument of tyrants over and over and over, right? The ends justify the means. What we're going
to It is. The argument of tyrants. I like that.
Since 2012, the Conscious Resistance Network has been an independent media organization focused on empowering individuals through education, philosophy, health, and community organizing. We work to create a world where corporate and state power do not rule over the lives of free human beings. Our motto is leading by example and helping others in their pursuit of freedom. Visit theconsciousresistance.com to find our articles, documentaries, interviews, podcasts, books, and more. Remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free.